It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And it is time for the pregame show. The 2-0 first place Tennessee Titans taking on the Minnesota Vikings today at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. We are live. What? This is the first non-studio or Green Hill studio show I think I have done since the SEC men's basketball tournament came to a halt in March.
Yeah.
But we are live today out at Corner Pub here in Bellevue, and we will be out at Corner Pub for the pregame show all season long. Yeah. Yazoo and Happ and Harry draft beers are $1 off. Happ and Harry bucket specials. While here, of course, order come in. They're open. Corner Pub. We're at the one in Bellevue today. We'll be downtown next week. And I'm on location with former Titans receiver Chris Sanders. Chris, how are you?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Had a good week playing our football game on Friday. Had a crazy game. I'm just ready for this game on Sunday, so I'm doing pretty good. I watched some crazy NCAA football. Man, I don't have that much hair, but I almost pulled all the hair I had out because, man, it was crazy.
Whew. And as we always do, as all the shows are doing nowadays in 2020, they bring in the coach on location, on remote, and the GM, Floyd Reese, is back in our studio. GM, how are you?
I am outstanding.
Hey, Floydie.
Wouldn't expect anything different from the GM today.
Oh, my gosh.
So let's start on this Titans and Vikings game. And as I said all week, GM, and you know I am scared to death of the Minnesota Vikings, only because it feels like their season is on the line today at 0-2 for the Titans at 2-0, a huge opportunity to rack up wins early in the season, build momentum, get better. Floyd, a lot on the line today for both teams, and I know it's only week three.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Minnesota knows that if they go 0-3, that it is a deep hole. Now, can you get out of it? Absolutely. But is it really, really hard? Absolutely. The other side of it is the Titans are sitting at 2-0. Probably, if I know Mike Vrabel, probably understanding that there was some good fortune that got them to 2-0, but it doesn't matter. You know, as long as you're sitting at 2-0, that's all that matters. And then I think it's a matter of, you know, are they going to be able to continue it? And what is Minnesota going to do to try to derail that? You know, it's one of those, we're going into their place. We know they're under duress. Yeah. We know they're going to be fighting for their lives. And it's a matter of, do you let them get off the mat or do you put your foot on their throat?
Yeah, Floyd, I agree with you 100%. I mean, this is a desperate, desperate team. I mean, if you look at what they're doing on offense, they're struggling on the offensive line. You know, Cousin, he looks very uncomfortable. And this is a team where they're trying to find their identity. This is a team, you don't know what they do on defense. You don't know what they do on offense. And, you know, you're just like, what kind of team is this? But this still scares me. And the reason why it scares me is because they're desperate and they definitely need to win. And now we go to the Tennessee Titans. We talked about it last year that, you know, Mike Vrabel came out with the slogan that says from good to great. What does that mean, from good to great? That means when you're supposed to go down and beat a Minnesota team that's struggling, just like you said, you put their knee on their neck and say, you know what, we're not going to give you any breath or give you any kind of life, because that's what we are. We're good, a team that's from good to great.
I look at this Minnesota Vikings team, and I wonder one of two things. Have they played decent teams, or are they really, really bad?
They're bad.
Explain.
And the reason why they're bad, look at the offensive line. I mean, I was watching them, you know, when they played Indy last week, and, you know, the offensive line doesn't really know what they're doing. It's kind of like with the Tennessee Titans at the beginning of the season. They were trying to find their identity, and they were making so many mistakes. I mean, how in the world are you going to have two safeties in 2 weeks? I mean, that doesn't happen in the NFL. So it shows you that the offensive line is struggling. Cousins is under duress. The defense is giving up points. And it's just a team that's in disarray, and it starts with the head coach.
I think the other side of that coin is, had the Titans played the way they played the first 2 weeks and they played the teams that Minnesota played, we would have been sitting here at 0-2. Had Minnesota played the two teams that we played, and they played the way they played, Minnesota would probably be sitting here 2-0. So, I mean, I look at these two roles, and I'm not big at, you know, who you've played, especially early. We all know that. But I think when you look at the Green Bay team that they played that put up 40 points or whatever, we haven't put up 40 points. You know, you look at some of those type teams, and I'm not sure if we could beat them. You know, so I think it's just so hard to evaluate all that. I think that's why you have to look at yourself. And I agree with Chris. I mean, Minnesota is struggling. I think both of these games were the same type game that we played against Baltimore in the playoffs last year. The game got so out of whack so quickly that your game plan is gone, and that, like Baltimore's was. You know, Baltimore didn't know what to do. They were kind of stuck. They weren't used to being behind. They weren't used to, you know, getting stuffed on short yardage. They weren't used to those things. We were able to do it, and they were just everywhere after that. And I think that's what we're seeing with this Minnesota team. You know, both games they score first. End of the first half, Green Bay scores. They turn the ball over. Green Bay scores all 14 points in like 26 seconds or something. Mm-hmm. You know, just outrageous. Well, all of a sudden you're going in the second half and you're going, oh man, what are we going to do now? So I think it's, you know, it's, we have to all kind of look at it and try to decide why we think they're where they are.
You know, Floyd and Jared, I want to ask you this question. Do you think it's because of the pressure or they lost some good players? I mean, is it, you know, everybody was talking about them at the beginning of the season that they're the team to beat in the NFC. Do you think the reason why they're struggling is because the pressure or loss of some good players?
I wonder what the impact of the loss of Stephon Diggs has done to Minnesota. And I also wonder, and Floyd, you would probably know this better than I would, but the defense that they run under Mike Zimmer, is it tough for rookies to come in without an offseason at the corner position and learn to do what they're doing? Because I do feel like Zimmer brought that up in his press conference this week, that it was tough to get the rookies on, you know, in sync with what they're trying to do defensively in Minnesota.
Yeah, they're not extremely complicated. You know, they're kind of a two deep, two man kind of umbrella scheme. They've got two great safeties, and they use those safeties wisely. You know, the corners are more zone caliber corners, or have been. That's why they've been able to have the, you know, the 6'3", 210-pound kind of tall, lean guys, Chris Dishman kind of looking guys.
Yeah.
You know, that can get out there and play you like a spider. You know, they're everywhere. I think that, I think we need to see this team. We need to look at this team when they have been able to go into a game, run Dalvin Cook the way they want to run him, who is a quality running back. Let that offensive line not worry about pass protection. Let that offensive line come off the ball, try to knock people back, try to find a hole in a running game. Use the play action pass to get to Thielman and the two tight ends that are very scary.
Yeah.
And go from there. And I think if we can see them do that, then you're going to see a completely different team. Now, have they lost some good players? Absolutely. You know, they lost their two best defensive players. They lost their best offensive player. So they've lost some really, really good players, and that will always be a factor.
You know, and I think with Cousins, just kind of watching him, just looking at some film, there's two things that's going on right here. Number one is his accuracy. I mean, he's throwing in the double covers. Did he do that last year? No. And I just think that the pressure is really trying to get into him. And then another thing is he's not playing with any confidence. And how can you play with any confidence if your offensive line is not blocking well or pass pro or even in the run blocking? I mean, right when he takes a three-step drop, I mean, he's getting pressured. So when you're getting pressured as a quarterback, you're going to second-guess of making throws, and we saw that when he's throwing in the double coverage.
Today's game, the Titans have the opportunity to go 3-0. How big of a deal is that, Chris Sanders?
Man, I think it's huge because last year, you know, when they started 2-4, we always talk about having a fast start, winning the AFC South, doing those great things, going from good to great. This is a perfect opportunity to start 3-0 and carry the momentum in the AFC South. I know they're not playing the AFC South team, but when you're 3-0 and you're in pole position, it just gives you that sense of confidence, that sense of feel that we can be a pretty good team, and we just got to keep continuing it.
Floyd, 3-0 means what to you?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with Chris. I think it allows you, God forbid, but it allows you that game where a really, really important player gets hurt, and you're going to go against another team and maybe not be able to produce, and you end up dropping one. I think it allows you to, you know, it forces the rest of the division to look at you. And, you know, let's face it, if we're lucky enough to go 3-0 and Houston loses again, they're 0-3. I mean, three games in with a three-games lead. You know, you're kind of going, I don't know if we can catch those guys and put them in that kind of mind frame, which I think would be great. But as with all this winning or all, you know, anytime you win, let me put it that way, and with a young team, you always worry about how they handle it. You know, how do they can they build off of this? Can they look at these first two games and see where they really were not very good? And say, hey, guys, we're 2-0, and that's fantastic. But look at this. Or are they walking around with their chest poked out saying, hey, we're 2-0. You know, look at us.
I don't think Mike Vrabel's going to even allow that. You know what I'm saying? The way he talks. He's never satisfied. Like, just everybody's talking about the running game and talking about different things that they need to improve. You know, I don't think Mike Vrabel is going to let this team be complacent, because if you be complacent, that's when you go in Minnesota and get your head beat in. So I just think that with Mike Vrabel, he's got to make sure he keeps talking about the X and O's, keep playing with confidence, and make sure these guys stay the course. Stay the course and keep making plays and put yourself in position with some more ball games.
And I think Mike has done that. I mean, I agree with Chris. I think just the few things we've heard about Mike, I mean, he is trying his darndest to find all the positives on this Minnesota team and feed that to his guys.
I think part of that, too, is Tannehill. You know, right. I mean, we've talked about this, you know, the Tannehill Titans and how with him at quarterback, it kind of feels like those games where you just knew the Titans were setting you up to lose. They've won with Tannehill as the quarterback. And I wonder if Tannehill is part of that, if it's maybe his professionalism, the way he carries himself, his attitude. But I think Vrabel certainly has always been that way. But that first year under Vrabel, they struggled with prosperity a little bit. Last year with Tannehill, we kept waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it didn't really fall. They lost to teams that ended up in the playoffs other than Carolina when Tannehill was the quarterback last year. But they really were consistent week to week once he became the starting quarterback.
It's just all about an attitude. I mean, especially the first game that the Tennessee played this year and they had to come back and win. It was just a different feel than last year. You know, when you have Mariota, I'm not being mean to Mariota or anything, but it's just the facts is the facts. Is when Mariota got in the huddle, you were unsure. But then now when you have Tannehill that gets in the huddle, you're sure about knowing that this guy is going to make plays, he's going to make the right call, he's going to make the right read and put guys in position to win. So I just think that it just feels different to when it felt last year, because last year we were kind of unsure. This year we're sure when he steps in the huddle when the game's in the line.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the four big stories in today's game between the Titans and the Vikings. We'll go four downs. Chris Sanders, yes, Jarrett Stillman, live from Corner Pub in Bellevue. GM Floyd Reese with us as always. It is the pregame show right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. It is the pregame show live from Corner Pub in Bellevue. Again, Corner Pub, a lot of great locations. They're open and willing for the game, so stop in today to watch the game. All these tables are so spread out. Everything out here in Bellevue is designed to keep you safe as well. Corner Pub, your spot to be. I have an interesting fact for you guys, which is the Titans have been 3-0. Win today against Minnesota would make them 3-0. The Titans have been 3-0 twice since becoming the Titans. One of those teams, 2008, they started the year off 10-0. The other team was the very first Titan team in 1999. Chris Sanders, yeah. You were on that team. Floyd Reese, you GM'd that team. Both 3-0 teams won their division. And now we start with our four downs presented by Kubota Tractors, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, and we start with first down.
First down.
3-0. Twice they've been 3-0. 1999 ended up in the Super Bowl. 2008, 13-3. Best record in the NFL and the number one seed in the AFC. GM Floyd Reese, how important in reality, and you've had a lot of teams over your tenure, how important is 3-0, even if it isn't the prettiest 3-0 in the world?
Well, I mean, it's vital. Because right now, especially early in the season, the only thing that matters, the only thing that matters is getting the W's.
Yes.
And it, you know, there's going to be a lot of discussion about, well, it wasn't pretty. You know, this guy wasn't as good as he needed to be. How are we going to win, you know, down the line? Well, let's worry about that down the line. Right now, let's worry about trying to win one more game. And if you can get there and I think keep that kind of attitude, you're going to be okay. Because we know in this league how things are going to change on a week-to-week basis. You can look at a team that looks like the best team in the league. They get somebody knocked down. You know, they get a Mahomes or Jackson knocked down. All of a sudden, they're 8-18. And I think that's true across the board. So, you know, let's just worry about what we have at hand. And if the rest of that works out, great. Yeah. It certainly is a good indicator.
Yeah, I just think it's very important. You know, especially last year, we were always playing catch-up football. I mean, that's what we're doing. We were 1-3, 2-4. So we were always having to catch up and having to play the perfect game. And I think it's a great opportunity for the Tennessee Titans to start 3-0 because it carries their momentum into playing the guys in the division. So I agree with you 100%, Floyd. This is a huge, huge game, not just for the Vikes, but also for the Tennessee Titans, because now it puts them in position, have pole position in AFC South.
Chris, what do you remember about the 99 Titans starting 3-0 and how important that early start was?
Man, it was very important because we just had an attitude that we were going to come out and try to smash anybody. I mean, that's just what we had because we went through so much adversity going 9-7, 8-8, and being close. So just tasting, you know, the thrill of victory and going 3-0, then 4-0, then going 4-1 and losing, I think it was to Miami. But then we came back and went on a roll. But it just feels good to come into that building knowing that you're 3-0 as opposed to 2-4.
Floyd, what do you remember about the 99 start at 3-0 and the early start? And obviously two different quarterbacks at that point with McNair getting an injury. But how important was that start to that team?
You know, it was important. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I think, you know, largely because of our background, like Chris said, you know, we had all of those years where we were 8-8s, and you know, average. I think we all felt in our heart that the team was better than that. But you know, your record says you're 8-8. You're 8-8, and so we kind of had to live with that. So getting to a point where you actually can see yourself going out and winning games is huge. I don't really remember getting a great feeling about the team. I mean, I liked our team. I thought, you know, if things work out, that same old spiel, if this happens, if that happens, we've got a chance. Until we played New Orleans, I think it was, in New Orleans. We ended up getting an interception late in the game and kind of put it away. And at that point in time, I went, you know what? These guys might be pretty good.
You know, just looking back at that year in 1999, I knew something was different when we played Cincinnati, Florida. You remember that first game we played?
Oh,
it was 35-34.
Yeah.
If you look at when we went 9-7, 8-8, 8-8, we would lose those close games. But then all of a sudden, it was a different look that when Matt got in the huddle, when, you know, Kevin Dyson was a receiver, and you had Eddie George, you had Yancey Thigpen, you had all those guys be like, listen, we ain't going through this mess like we did a couple of years ago, and we won that game. And when I walked out of that stadium and we were in that locker room, we was like, yeah, we about to kick some hiney, and that's what we did.
Do you guys remember who the third win was in 99?
I don't.
Well, I don't either.
It was a rainstorm in Jacksonville. Samari Roll had a game-winning interception against what ended up being one of Jacksonville's only two regular season losses that season. The other one, of course, came to the Titans. That takes us to second down.
Second down.
Ryan Tannehill did it again on Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tannehill was absolutely outstanding through the air with four touchdowns, tying a career high. And for the second time this year, a fourth quarter game-winning drive from Ryan Tannehill, setting up Floyd's kicker, Steven Goskowski. Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people wondered if Tannehill could do it again entering 2020. What have you seen so far?
Man, this kid is incredible. I don't know if you remember this show. I think Floyd does. Floyd, you remember Happy Days?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Fonz? Every time a problem would arise, he would show up, and he was just kind of cool, calm, and collective. That's kind of how Tannehill is. When a situation arises, he's cool, calm, and collective. But the one thing I love about this kid or this guy is he's spreading the ball around. I mean, he's throwing it to Davis, Batson, Janu, Ferkser, Humphreys. He's spreading the ball around, and he's doing it with confidence. And then another thing that he's doing, and he's throwing the ball in a position to where only the receiver can catch it. Look at the touchdown that he threw to Janu and then Humphreys and then Davis. He's putting the ball in a place where only the wide receiver can catch it. And it just shows you the maturation of this quarterback. Look at what he did in Miami. In Miami, he was kind of unsure and, you know, throwing the ball and getting hurt. But when he steps in the huddle with the Tennessee Titans, he knows exactly where he's going, he's reading the coverages, and he's putting the ball in an accurate place where only the receiver can catch it.
And it's interesting, I think, the more ball you watch, the more it becomes obvious the guys that are able to do this and the guys that aren't. Mm. And I've gotten to the point almost where I, you know, how you're watching a game on TV and the camera goes right to the QB's face and eyes in the huddle. And you look at that, and as crazy as it sounds, I almost look at that now and go, okay, he's going to be okay. Or, oh, no. You know, he's got a little bit of that deer in the headlights look, and I'm really concerned about that. Well, Ryan has that very, very positive, okay, we're right where we need to be kind of look. And I think that's paramount. You know, I think the other guys feed off of that. Mm. I mean, he is or has kind of a almost eerie hypnotic effect on a lot of those guys, you know? I mean, you watch him and how he acts and how he displays himself and the things he says. Like, what was it last week? He said, you know, and one more or something like that. And I'm not sure I really understood what that meant.
But. He said, and one after he got hit. That is a basketball term.
Yeah, and I don't know what that meant, but, you know, everybody got a kick out of it. So I thought, there you go. You know, there's another one of those cool whatevers he just throws out there, and it just kind of fits the moment.
Chris, you go up for a dunk, you ever turn around and say, and one?
Man, I probably can't even touch the net right now.
When's the could you dunk back in the day? I'm sure you could dunk back in the day.
And this is no bragging or anything, but I could actually dunk from the free throw line.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
I could dunk from the free throw line. You know, I just want all the listeners to know that I was a great athlete.
And he could jump out of the building. I'm going to tell you that.
I appreciate it. But like with Tannehill, Floyd, I agree with you 100,000%. But just looking at him, when he steps in the huddle, nothing phases him. I mean, it just doesn't. And you know why nothing phases him? It's because the adversity that he went through in Miami. He went through, he can't be a quarterback, and he's always getting hurt. He went through all this stuff. So he's getting to the huddle and saying, man, I've been through this. I've been through the adversity. I've been through the hurt. I've been through the pain. This doesn't phase me.
I wonder, and this will be a subject for later on, I wonder if him stepping back as the starter and being placed as a backup last year with Marcus and watching Marcus do what he did as the quarterback maybe didn't even strengthen him more.
Yes.
You know, it was kind of like, well, I know I can't help him. You know, I mean, he's a veteran guy and that's the way he is. But I'm really happy I am who I am and why I am.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
Vic Beasley looks like he will enter the lineup for the first time as a Titan. Beasley asked about his NFI list and gave some very questionable answers on Friday. But the truth of the matter is for the first time, the Titans will have the pass rushers they want. Landry, Beasley, Clowney, Simmons, all lined up on the defense. Together so far, the Titans defense GM has not gotten any pressure on Denver or Jacksonville. What are we hoping for with Vic Beasley in the lineup today?
You know, I if nothing else, you're hoping for fresh rush. You know, because I don't care who you are. If you are pooped, if you've just played 10 snaps in a row and you've got to go in on the 11th and try to get a sack, you just aren't going to get there. You know, if it's 10 plays in a row, I went three. I'm going to step off here, and I'm going to get a glass of Gatorade, catch my breath. I'll be back in another snap. Now maybe you do. And I think that's what it will afford us. It will afford us the ability to put a fresh body in there. And maybe he's not a Hall of Famer. Maybe he's not a Pro Bowl player. Maybe he's not. But he does have pass rush skills. And if he is fresh, he's going to have better pass rush skills than whoever we have in there now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you 100% for it. I want to see those explosive plays. I mean, everybody talked about what he did in Atlanta, and I've seen a little bit of it, but we need to see this with the Tennessee Titans. And just imagine with Clowney and Simmons and all those guys, and those guys have explosive plays. Now you have an explosive defense. But the key for me with Beasley is he going to be in shape? You know, you can be in shape. You can be in shape a little bit on the off season, but you got to be in good football shape. And good football shape is making sure you can play on a consistent basis on the field. And if he can do that and have those explosive plays, I think the Tennessee Titans defense went from good to being pretty good.
I think Beasley. I mean,
there you go.
I'm just putting my hands behind my back and just Beasley, Clowney. You know, let's see if they do something. I mean, I know they're paid to do something. But I'm just kind of the let's see if they do. So, like, I need to see them, both of them, both Beasley and Clowney. I need to see them do something before I get excited about the idea of them doing something.
I mean, I agree with you 100%, but I just think that with the defensive coordinator, I think it's Mike Vrabel, they're going to make sure they put packages in to where those guys can switch in and out and be fresh, just like what Floyd said. They got to be fresh. But Beasley, he's not going to be able to play the whole game. I mean, he ain't even been in practice. I mean, he's been sitting there sipping Gatorade and drinking Pedialyte. I mean, so is he going to be in shape and to make those explosive plays? We shall see.
And if you take somebody like Clowney, or really Landry too, we fail to ever talk about Landry like he doesn't even exist. He's the best pass rusher we got. But, you know, for them to play 40 plays instead of 65 plays, or for them to play 45 plays, and since however many plays they get a break, will be that many more plays they'll be effective, in my mind.
That takes us to our fourth and final down.
Fourth down.
Fourth down is reserved for special teams. Floyd, take a bow, because your kicker, Steven Goskowski, hit a 51-yarder and a game-winning 45-yarder on Sunday. Everybody, led by me, was doubting Goskowski. I'm still not sold on Goskowski. Oh, if this game comes down to a kick where he missed, I believe, an extra point and a field goal in the Super Bowl with the Patriots. But, Floyd, you had faith in the kicker. You stood behind the kicker. And on fourth down, the kicker came through for you last Sunday.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, I'm not sure how tough the decision was.
No.
Let's see. You got.
I thought about going for it.
You got a Hall of Fame kicker on one hand, and you got a group of kickers you don't know anything about on the other. You know, I mean, it only makes perfect sense to me, and I think, you know, we've seen in the past, you know, with Gary Anderson, you know, you bring in a Gary Anderson who's now on the Hall of Fame list. You know, was that a really shrewd move? The hardest part about trying to decide about Gary as to whether or not we wanted to bring in was if we could get him off the trout streams. And if we could get him off the trout streams, then great, bring him in. But, you know, it just wasn't that hard. And especially at that position, you want somebody that has been there. Does that guarantee they're going to make it? Nope. But I think in your mind, it's easier to say, we missed a kick with a Hall of Fame kicker than it is to say we missed a kick with a kid we weren't really sold on, you know, because that makes you look like a dummy.
Coming up on the other side, we will take a look at the Titans' offense as they get set to take on this Minnesota defense that, quite frankly, hasn't been very good. That's coming up next in the pregame show live from Corner Pub in Bellevue. It's Jared, Chris, and Floyd. It's ESP at 102.5 The Game. 2 hours until kickoff between Titans and Vikings. We're live at the Corner Pub in Bellevue. GM Floyd Reese on location. And the Minnesota Vikings have been a team that for years under Mike Zimmer has been known for their defense. It has been defense, defense, defense under Zimmer. At times having, I think in 2016, the second best defense in the NFL. This year, their defense is 30th in yards allowed and 31st in points given up. I know it's only two games, but 28 last week to the Indianapolis Colts, 43 in week one to the Green Bay Packers. Chris Sanders,
yes,
what is the plan of attack on offense against this struggling Minnesota defense?
I think there's two things. Number one is the one thing I love about the Titans on offense, they have zero turnovers. And I'm going to give you a little bit of trivia. Who's the other two teams that don't have a turnover?
I'm going to guess Baltimore.
Nope. I'm going to give it to you. Green Bay and Kansas City. They don't have a turnover. And the reason why I think the offense is doing very well is because they have zero turnovers. And last year, if you look at when they had the first couple of games, they were throwing picks and having fumbles. And I just think that that's why the Tennessee Titans are being successful. Tannehill has to stay hot. Last week, he threw four touchdowns, and he's just throwing the ball in the correct places. Now, everybody's been talking about the running game. I don't think the running game's been struggling. I mean, I think we as fans and we as announcers have been spoiled by what Derrick Henry did last year. Last year he had those big runs, 70 yards, 60 yards, 99 yards. But now he's chugging yards and getting 13, 10, and 11, and we think that the running game has started. So what we have to do is we got to let the big dog eat, like kind of like what you're saying. We got to let him eat early, punish them, and hit them in the face and really control the line of scrimmage.
Lloyd?
Yeah, the Minnesota defense went through kind of a transformation last year. You know, they had Waynes and they had Rhodes and they had Mackenzie Alexander as corners, veteran corners, Pro Bowl, All Pro caliber corners. Well, all those guys are gone, and so they brought in a whole new group of young corners, high draft choices, but young corners, and they're going through kind of what we're going through with our young corner. Mm-hmm. You know, where does he fit? How does he fit? Does he understand the league? All those kinds of things. That being said, they've got maybe the two best safeties in the league. Guys that are good against the run, good against the pass, come up with big plays, really, really smart, seldom in the wrong spot. You know, just real, real productive guys. You know, up front right now, with Hunter on IR, I think he's on IR for one more week, and then we'll see what happens to him. But they bring in the Jacksonville kid, and he is the other pass rusher. Other than that, they're kind of stymied there. They take maybe their best linebacker. No, I won't say that. Second best linebacker, Barr, and Barr is gone. His backup practices one day. His backup is gone, and now you're to a guy that wasn't even there 4 days ago. So, they've been through some trauma with their secondary. And I think it's, you just can't give them any breath. You know, you can't, we've got to stay on top of them. And I think that's one of the things we've done well. We've been very workmanlike, very blue collar, maybe not special, but real, real solid. And as Chris said, the absolute most important thing, not hurting ourselves.
Yeah, and looking at the film too, Floyd, is they're struggling fundamentally. And when I say fundamentals, when they're struggling with the fundamentals, is their tackling has been really, really bad. And you can't go against a physical offense like the Tennessee Titans with our offensive line with Kelly, Ben Jones, and Saffold, and Lawan. If we start to hit them in the mouth and they don't tackle, they're not physical at the line of scrimmage, I think the Tennessee Titans can impose their will on them because the Tennessee Titans are physical.
What did you guys think of, and Floyd, I'll start with you, what did you guys think of the fact that Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown's out against Jacksonville, that we know they've got a really good rookie corner in C.J. Henderson. Davis had an okay game, but Tannehill, and he's really done this ever since he's gotten here, he is spreading the ball out to everybody, whether it's Jonnu Smith or Adam Humphries or Anthony Firkser or even Cameron Batson, who had a couple of catches on Sunday. I feel like for a young secondary and a young defense that's kind of struggling, that is just got to worry Mike Zimmer, Floyd, that they're not going to know where Tannehill's going with the ball.
Well, and this is one of the trademarks that Ryan has shown since he's been here, really. You know, he's been good at that from the start. And I think we acknowledge the fact that part of that was due to him practicing more with those guys and knowing those guys more. But the truth is, that is just him. He's going to put the ball where it needs to be. As Chris mentioned earlier, he's going to do it with accuracy. He's going to make good decisions and allow them to run with the ball. But we talked about this a little bit during the week. I think the other part of it is because we don't have Hopkins. We don't have, you know, a guy that's going to go out and catch 14 balls. I mean, we don't have that guy. A good day for our receivers is you go out, catch four or five balls. You know, that's a good day, whether you're a receiver or tight end. It's not like we're looking to get the ball to anybody. We're looking to get the ball to the guy that's open, whomever that may be.
Yeah, and Floyd, and the one thing I love about Tannehill is he's looking for the one-on-one matchups. I mean, especially when they're going against Minnesota, just Davis against Hughes. I don't know if Hughes is playing. John New against Wilson. Humphreys against Smith. Brown against Hill. He's looking for those matchups. And when those matchups appear, oh, he already knows where he's going, and he's accurate and he's confident on where he's going to throw the ball at.
Floyd, what does Mike Zimmer like to do on defense in the secondary? Is it kind of a zone scheme? Is it a man-to-man scheme? What kind of challenge are the receivers looking at from what Mike Zimmer usually likes to do on defense?
Yeah, no, they have generally been now he's a multiple guy, but between two deep zone and two deep man, that's probably 30-40% of their defense. That's kind of their staple. And then they, you know, historically, when you're doing those kinds of things, like say a Seattle or like some of the, you're relying on your pass rush to knock the quarterback down. And teams that come, that have had the pass rush have been able to do that. Well, I think Minnesota has had that pass rush for the last couple years. Now, do they have it this year? And that is the giant question for them. But, you know, all defensive coaches are going to do one thing first. Stop the run.
Right.
And I think what we have to do is we have to hope that Ryan is going to be alert enough, that we're going to be smart enough to look at it. Because if you're a two-deep shell team and you want to try to get the safety into the run, you have to show it. You know, you can't – that safety has to come down from the top, and everybody knows what's going on. And that gives the quarterback a chance to say, aha, here comes the eighth guy. They're either going to be man or they're going to be zone outside. Now I can run, you know, a bubble screen, or I can throw a slant, or I can – whatever the case may be. And Ryan has historically been pretty good at that.
Yeah, I think Mike Zimmerman, he plays a lot of zone, just like what you said. Like his front four is going to put pressure on you, and on the back end they're playing cover two. But I think he might have to switch up a little bit because of the Tennessee Titans running game, because the power running game that the Tennessee Titans have. So then also that's going to allow those receivers to get open because they're going to get maybe a cover three or a man-to-man coverage. So it's going to open up for so many people.
One thing we haven't talked with Minnesota is their safeties, Harrison Smith and Anthony Harris, and how is Zimmer going to use those, Floyd, in the running game?
Yeah, and that's just what we're talking about. I mean, they're going to have to bring one of those guys down. I would guess it would be Harrison to sit in that core and be a part of that. And you can do that. I mean, that's absolutely no problem. But Tannehill will know that. And the other thing, I think, and I agree with Chris, they may want to change it up. And Chris could probably talk about this better than I could, but you take a two-deep corner, a guy that wants to get up and get his hands on you and be real physical and tall, lanky, and, you know, turn his hips and run, and now back him off 6 or 7 yards off the ball and say, okay, now you read the receiver, you read the quarterback, you read and play all that. That's not quite their bailiwick. You know, that's a little bit of an adjustment.
That's how Cincinnati was my rookie season. And that was when I had my first two touchdowns.
Spoken like a pro. There you go.
Coming up next, we flip it to the other side. The Titans' defense against this Minnesota offense is Kirk Cousins as bad as he is getting credit for. And Dalvin Cook has not gotten started yet, but how much of a worry is he? We'll touch on that next. We're live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. It is the pregame show, Titans and Vikings, right here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. I brought up the stats on the Minnesota defense last segment and how bad they've been. How about the Minnesota offense? 30th in the league in total offense, 21st in points scored, 27th in touchdowns, 27th in turnovers, 29th in first downs, 32nd in total passing under Kirk Cousins, 21st in rushing. They have been awful on offense so far this season. Cousins has been the main target of, I guess, people's disappointment as far as the Vikings are concerned. 58.8%, 372 yards, two touchdowns, and four picks in the two games. Floyd Reese, how does Mike Vrabel, how does Shane Bowen keep Kirk Cousins and the Vikings offense down?
Well, the ideal way would be exactly what's happened to him the last 2 weeks, which is get ahead fast enough that you pull him out of their game plan. What they've had to do the last 2 weeks, or for at least a game and a half, is not what they want to do. That's not their game plan. Their game plan is eerily similar to ours. They want to go in there with Dalvin Cook. They want to run the ball effectively. They want to play action pass, get the ball to the receiver and to the two tight ends, and eat up the clock, save their defense, keep that defense off the field. But they have not been able to do that. Starting with, you know, the Green Bay game from halftime on, they were behind by, I don't know what it was, you know, 14, 20 points. And then last week, they were behind by 14 points right off the bat. I would argue that had we played, again, similar situations, we could not have run the ball for a game and a half. We were forced to stand back there and throw the ball without A.J. Brown. We might have similar numbers. It might not be all that pretty for us either.
You know, I know everybody is blaming Kirk Cousins for, you know, what he's been doing. I know he threw two picks last week. But you got to look at the offensive line. Their offensive line is struggling. I mean, they are struggling bad. I mean, they're not picking up the blitzes. They're not doing their pro pass. They're not doing anything in unison together. So that's why you see Kirk Cousins is struggling in the pocket. He's uncomfortable. He's turning the ball over. He's not going through his reads. The reason why he can't go through his reads is because he's so under duress. I mean, you can't throw the ball if you got somebody in your face. And I just think that the guys that I'm about to name, if they step up and play ball, Simmons, Clowney, Crawford, Beasley, Landry, if those guys put pressure on Kirk Cousins, he's definitely going to make the mistakes as he's been making in the past. But if this guy gets a little bit of confidence and start throwing it to his receivers and throwing it to his tight ends and Dalvin Cook starts running the ball, we're going to be in for a long day.
Floyd, what do you make of Cook's struggles this year?
Again, I think it's been – now, I'll agree with Chris. The offensive line is a work in progress. But once again, I think had we taken our offensive line – and in these first two games and put them in a situation where they're having to throw every snap, people might be saying the same kinds of things about us. So I think that's a little bit different. But Cook is a legitimate running back. I mean, he's a real deal. And he is more of a scat back than Derek, you know, more of a nifty change of direction kind of guy. But a quality running back and somebody that they want to use to eat up the clock and take pressure off the quarterback.
Yeah, and this offense can be an explosive offense, Floyd. You mentioned Dalvin Cook, but then you have Adam Thielen. Is that how you pronounce his name? Mm-hmm. And then you have Jefferson, who's due for a big game. I mean, he only has 50 receiving yards in two games. So you don't think they're going to try to get those guys the ball and take advantage of the depleted defensive backs that we have for the Tennessee Titans? Oh, you know Kirk Cousins is going to look for those matchups to get those guys the ball.
I wonder how much this offense misses Stephon Diggs, because I always thought Diggs was a good receiver, but I never felt like Diggs was an elite-level NFL receiver. I mean, like, I didn't think Diggs was one of the better receivers in the league. He goes to Buffalo, and he's tearing it up for the Buffalo Bills. And we heard last year Diggs complained about getting the ball, which a lot of receivers do. Mm-hmm. Chris Sanders never did. But Diggs was complaining about not getting the ball last year, and Diggs leaves Minnesota, and he's lighting it up, and Minnesota's offense through two games is not very impressive. Chris, how much do you think they miss Stephon Diggs?
What's the one thing that a defensive back is scared of?
Someone taking the top off by running
past
the
defense. Who on the offensive on the Vikings, who scares you? Thielen's going to catch a dig, or he's going to catch like a 20-yard route. But I'm talking, just like you said, I'm talking about somebody who's going to take the top off the defense and scare you D-wise. There's nobody.
Even Jordan Jefferson, I don't think, is that type of threat when he was in LSU. It was the other guy.
No doubt.
At LSU who was more of the threat than him.
Yeah, Jefferson, didn't he run in the combine like a 4.5, 4.6?
Something like
that. Yeah, so he's not a guy that's going to scare you deep. So who's the deep threat when you take digs out? There's nobody's going to scare you. So what the Tennessee Titans can do, just keep the ball in front. If Thielen catches a dig or Jefferson catches a slant, just come up and tackle him because you don't have nobody to beat you deep. Now, on the flip side, you have some tight ends that have been killing us. I mean, that's been our Achilles heel, is who's going to cover these great tight ends that the Minnesota Vikings have. So that's where the problem's going to lie.
I mean, you can't take a player. I mean, they're, again, I keep comparing them to us because I see so many similarities. But if you look at their team, even the team last year, and you say, okay, who are the stars on this team? You know, who are the guys that you hate to play against? Well, on offense, it was probably Diggs. You know, you can go to the defense, you can say, okay, I hate to block Hunter. I don't like Kendricks. You know, those two safeties are dynamite. But on offense, there was probably one guy. And other than that, you respect Thielen. You respect even the young guys, fine. You know, Jefferson led the country in receiving. Great. You know, all of that is well and good. But the one guy that you knew could absolutely take the win away from you was Diggs. And I think we're seeing that in Buffalo now. And I think what happens when you lose a guy like that on a team is people start doubting everything. Yeah. You know, they start saying, well, you know, Thielen's not playing the way he did before. Well, he was a lot better when he was a number two guy. But now he's the number one guy, and how is he? And so, you know, you get a bunch of that kind of discussion, and people are saying, well, the reason is, you know, we're just not as good on offense, and the offensive line isn't as good, and the quarterback isn't playing as good, and you know, and you get to a point where you see all this self-doubt creeping in.
Yeah, and if you look at their wide receivers, each team has that guy. I mean, if you look at Houston last year, you had Hopkins, who was that guy. They don't have that guy on this team. I mean, you have some solid receivers. You got some guys that can make plays. But, Floyd, if you're a defensive coordinator, does Thielen scare you? Does Jefferson scare you?
Yeah, no. I mean, nothing like Diggs.
But when you say Diggs, you're like, whoa, this joker can run. So that's the difference. You know, it's about a guy putting fear in your defense. And if you look at these two receivers, I'm not saying they're not great receivers, but they don't put the fear in a defensive back.
You're telling me Tajay Sharp does not put the fear in either of you in today's game?
How many touchdowns did he have when he was here?
I think he had four last year.
That's four. He's been here for 7 years, right?
I think he's been here for 4 years, yes.
And four touchdowns. That don't scare me.
Look, I'm not worried of Tajay Sharp today in the Minnesota pass-catching corps. I am worried, Floyd. Chris Jackson is out, as is Adoree Jackson. Malcolm Butler, questionable with the quad. We'll see if he is up for today's game as we are awaiting that. And then Jonathan Joseph had a calf injury. The Titans had Ty Smith, who they cut earlier and put on the practice squad. Ty Smith back out on the field at the end of the game on Sunday. Corner depth, as much as we can laugh about Minnesota's receivers, right now the Titans have an issue, Floyd, with corner depth.
Oh, and as does Minnesota. I mean, there's not going to be a corner on the field before, when this game is over. I mean, they are going down right and left. You know, that's why somebody like Butler today can really stand out for you if, in fact, he goes in there and plays the way that we know he can, because he gives you a leg up in that department. I mean, you know that Minnesota's going to be playing a couple of young guys. We're going to be playing a couple of guys. I mean, we don't even know who's going to line up there yet. You know, that's where we are. So you don't have to be a very good receiver if you're playing against a fourth, a fifth, a sixth corner, because truth is that fourth, fifth, or sixth corner is probably not very good.
But you know what to help that secondary? And I'm going to name some names. Simmons, Clowney, Crawford, Beasley, and Landry. That would help that secondary, because if those guys put pressure on Kirk Cousins, they don't have to cover. Exactly. Just stay back in cover three and stay in zone and let those front three or that front four or whatever front they're going to play, let them put some pressure on Cousins. Stay back there. They catch the ball, tackle them. It's third down and five. Let's go.
I'm worried that Beasley, Clowney, Landry, Simmons, Crawford are not going to be able to get to Kirk Cousins today simply because they didn't get to Gardner Minshew last week and they didn't get to Drew Lock before that. So I again, like I said, I need to see it from those guys before I start to get excited about those guys. Coming up next in the program, we should have our inactives, who's in, who's out. Plus, are the Minnesota Vikings really as much of a mess as they are getting blamed for? We will discuss all of that coming up. It is the pregame show live from the Corner Pub out in Bellevue. We will be at the Corner Pub throughout the whole season, getting you set for Titans football. It's Titans and Vikings. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are getting close, an hour and 30 minutes away from kickoff between Titans and Vikings. We're live from the Corner Pub out in Bellevue. We'll be out at the Corner Pub here in Bellevue. We'll be at the one downtown next week, and we'll be at the one out in Brentwood all throughout the course of the season. Who's in? Who's out? It's time for our inactives today. Out for the Titans is wide receiver A.J. Brown. We already knew that going into the game. Defensive back Chris Jackson is out. Outside linebacker Derek Roberson is out. Center Aaron Brewer is out. I don't even know who that is. Tight end Jeff Swaim is out. And defensive lineman Matt Dickerson is out today for the Titans. That means Darrington Evans is active to make his debut, the third-round pick out of Appalachian State at running back. He will probably make his debut today. And Vic Beasley is active today for the Titans, and he will make his debut. Floyd, the Titans going with four outside backers for today's game as opposed to the three that they had last week against Jacksonville.
Which actually means we'll have a starter and a backup. which means that you'll be able to give that guy some kind of a breather at points in time, which is really going to be key. And let's face it. Now, I don't know what's wrong with Correa, but there's something there in my mind. So, you know, if he in fact is over that and he can go out there and play his normal number of reps, you know, again, now you have guys that can come in and spell you for 15, 20 reps a game, make a world of difference. Not only do you get better pass rush from them, but you get better pass rush from the starter. So that's great. And if you want to change up the packages, now you've got another opportunity to do that.
You know, Floyd, when they're activating four linebackers, does that mean they're going to be devoted to stopping the run? Is that what you think Mike Vrabel and those guys are thinking, to stop the run because they don't scare us in the pass?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't. My gut tells me they're using it for rush.
Rush,
you know,
okay.
Yeah, to get pass rush. Now, they're going to have to stop the run, too. We all know that. But I think it's going to help them more. Not that we've been good against the run at all, because we haven't, but, I mean, where we don't have a clue so far has been with the pass rush.
Now, I do want to get to the Vikings inactives, because there's one very important one off the top. Tajay Sharp is inactive today for the Minnesota Vikings.
There you go.
K.J. Osborne, a wide receiver, is out. Mike Hughes, a corner. Cam Dantzler, a corner. So their two starting corners are out. Eddie Yarbrough, a defensive end. A tackle. Olisemika Udoa is out.
I know him.
Do you actually?
Yeah.
How do you know him?
I don't know.
And defensive tackle James Lynch is out today for the Vikings. No Tajay Sharp.
There you go. Going to start crying.
Out there for Minnesota.
Floyd, he was just like, I love Tajay Sharp. He scares us.
I mean, I was kind of hoping Tajay Sharp was going to play so all the people who love Tajay Sharp could see from the other side how useless and meaningless Tajay Sharp was to the Titans last couple of years.
Floyd, when he was doing good in camp, who did he say was doing good in camp last year?
Oh, yeah.
He's our guy.
And I said Khalif Raymond was doing well in camp this year, and now I don't talk about Khalif Raymond.
That's why we don't talk.
Because Khalif stinks in the game when he drops the ball.
Because you pancake, man. You flip and flop every week.
He wasn't dropping the ball in practice. Hey, I'm sure you played with some guys who were great practice players.
Yeah.
And not great game players.
No, not really.
Floyd?
Have I seen him?
Yes, do those things exist?
Yeah.
Okay, so
especially early in camp.
That's too But Floyd, he was getting ready to crown him as a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And he only had 7 catches.
I was one step away from putting Tajae Sharpe into the Titans Ring of Honor. I think that's only a couple jerseys down. You got Chris Sanders.
Oh, thank you.
Then we got a couple jerseys down. Then we got Tajae Sharpe for contributions.
Thanks, appreciate you.
To the Titans. Darrington Evans set to make his debut. The Titans have elevated Jeremy McNichols off the practice squad. He is on the active roster, and because he's not inactive, he will play today as well. What do you think about the running back situation? We know Henry is in there. We saw last week them try to take carries away from Derrick Henry. They gave some to Sonoris Perry, but he's going to be out today. What kind of role do you expect for Evans? And how much can you trust Chris Darrington Evans this early into his career with not a lot of practice?
I think it's going to be a change of pace. I mean, you're going to have Henry just going to run the outside zone and power and all that stuff like that. Do you have Evans? It's more of a slasher and take the distance. But the one thing that I love about this kid is he can catch the ball on screens and he can catch the ball lined up in the slot. So that's what gives them that extra dynamic guy that they can have out there that can make plays that is fast. So, you know, I think it's going to be a plus to have another guy in the backfield, because if Henry goes down, then you have somebody coming there that can actually make some plays. Yes, I'm concerned that, you know, he hasn't practiced that much in camp. And yes, I'm concerned that he may not be physically ready, but he still is a threat that can take the ball, that can take the ball the distance. So that's what this Tennessee Titans need.
Floyd, the word I use is trust. How much do you trust Darrington Evans today?
Well, I mean, not very much, because you don't know anything about the guy. I mean, it's interesting that we've been here. We're excited, and I'm excited to see him too. And yet he has never done a thing. I mean, it's like he's non-existent. But we know what we've had with those other guys, and we know that they're not good enough. And so what do you have? Well, you've got this young rookie that the numbers are very impressive. You know, you look at his size and his speed and the things he can do, and you say, wow, you know, I like those numbers. And can he do anything with them? And then you say, well, I don't know, because we've never seen him in a helmet. So strange deal. You know, we talk about this all the time. Hope is not a strategy. And this, you know, the only thing you can do with him is hope.
And he just can't panic, you know, because if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm sending blitzes everywhere, because if he's a new guy and he can't pick up the blitz, then that's going to put pressure on Tannehill. So he just got to slow down, let the game come to him, because he's going to be wide eyed. They're going to be blitzing. There's going to be a lot of things going on, but he's got to do what he did in college. Let the game slow down and go out there and make some plays like he's capable of making.
With Chris Jackson and Adoree Jackson out for the Titans, it's good news. Jonathan Joseph will be up, as will Malcolm Butler at the cornerback position. They've got Kristen Fulton as the third. And it looks like after that, you're talking Ty Smith or Chris Milton in that kind of fourth corner role. Floyd, how concerned are you about the corner depth today now that we know Jackson is out? And how glad are you to know that Jonathan Joseph is going to be in?
Well, I think I feel better about Joseph after watching Jackson a couple of weeks. And Jackson may end up being I'm still not sure he's a corner. You know, in my mind, I'm looking at him and I'm thinking he's going to have more of a chance as a safety. That being said, they see him, they know him a heck of a lot better than I do. But, you know, having the Wiley veteran back, who we were maybe concerned about his long speed, well, a Wiley veteran that can't run is better than a rookie know-nothing that can't run. So, you know, where it's kind of you're picking the evils. And you know, in a game like this, maybe all that experience with all the youth at their receiver spot will really, really help him. But at least you know you can go out there and do some things that you couldn't do with a rookie schematically.
I think the most important person to help the secondary is Midget. And the defensive back coach, the secondary coach, is make sure when he comes to the sidelines and get the pad and say, okay, this is what they're doing on offense. Make sure you read your keys. Make sure you do this. Make sure you stay in position and not let these young guys overthink. Because when these guys start to overthink, then that's when the mistakes happen. So I think Midge is going to have to take them on the sidelines, calm them down, and say, listen, read your keys and make plays like we brought you here to do.
I want to see what Vic Beasley does today. But before I get excited about Vic Beasley, I'm going to need to see Vic Beasley before I can get excited. Coming up next, Teron Davenport, ESPN, will join us. Coming up, his thoughts on today's game, his thoughts on Vic Beasley making his debut. We'll touch on all of that with Teron Davenport next, live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. It's Jared and Chris and Floyd. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Brown out for the Titans. That's the biggest news, but of course, we all knew that one going in. The big news is who's in. Vic Beasley will make his debut as a Titan. The Titans have four outside linebackers up and active for today's game. Jadeveon Clowney, Harold Landry, the starters. Kamaleh Correa only got 12 snaps on Sunday against Jacksonville. And, of course, Vic Beasley. And we are live out at the Corner Pub in Bellevue. Floyd on location back in the studio. And Teron Davenport joins us now, ESPN.com, covering the Titans. TD, VB is in the lineup today for the Titans. Vic Beasley, how big of a deal is that to you against a struggling Minnesota offense?
I think it's really big because it gives them, obviously, another option at outside linebacker, but it also gives them something that they could do as far as their NASCAR package. I think it would be really good to see Vic Beasley with Jeffrey Simmons and Jadeveon Clowney inside, and then you got Howard Landry as another down lineman. That's a nice NASCAR package if you ask me.
TD, why do you think the Titans have struggled to get pressure so far in the first two games, and how worried are you for the Titans' sake about that today?
I really don't think they struggled to get pressure last week. I mean, Clowney himself had, I believe it was four or five, maybe even six pressures. But the thing you have to remember last week, it was a lot of short passing game, getting the ball out of Gardner Minshew's hands very quickly. And that's something that, you know, going into that game, that's something I said that they would do. And it's what they've done, you know, in their first two games. So I think that has a lot to do with it. Against the Broncos, you saw some of that as well, and they were able to move the pocket. Bottom line, they do have to get home, right, and get the sacks. But the thing that you have to remember, and even in talking to Jeffrey Simmons, talking to Mike Vrabel, Shane Bowen, all of them stress the importance of being able to impact the quarterback, and they've done that. You just look at the play that sealed the game against the Jaguars last week. Jeffrey Simmons tipped pass. Landry picked it off.
We see that, again, this week, if you're a corner and your last name is Jackson, you can't get on the field. But if you're saying, okay, Adoree is not there, in your mind, are we better with Fulton and the old-timer and Butler, or were we better with Jackson, the young Jackson, and Butler?
I think, and I've said it all along, I think Fulton is the better player when you look at Jackson, Chris Jackson, that is, versus almost said Adoree against Christian Fulton. I think really the main thing that Jackson did well in camp, but he was thrust into that starting lineup because Fulton missed a full week of practice leading into the season opener. But if you see now, Fulton is the guy in the nickel. So I think they're better in the nickel, especially in this game where Fulton is going against a former teammate in Justin Jefferson, you know, when they line up in their 11 personnel. He's the guy in the slot, especially with Tajae Sharp inactive, which is crazy. But, you know, that's a matchup that I think will work out better with Fulton as the nickel as opposed to Chris Jackson.
When you look at this, the defensive front, and you know, now we've got four outside linebackers. Do you see them using those guys as like a first team, second team, or do you see more of a blend of Landry, Beasley, Clowney, and let's say Simmons? Throw the extra name in there. And going with it that so that Clowney moves inside or one of those guys moves inside?
Well, that's the thing that I really feel is a plus when you have Vic Beasley in the game and in the lineup. You can now really take advantage of Clowney's versatility. And that's something that Mike Vrabel has said all along since he got here. He wanted to have multiple fronts. And I think when you have a guy in Clowney that you could put inside and just let him use his quickness against those guards, I think, and suddenness against them, I think that will be effective with him rushing the passer. Then you could do other things like with him inside. You could do that I call it an amoeba pressure, where you have everybody standing up and the quarterback doesn't know who's rushing, who's dropping. And I think you could have Clowney stand up in the middle and do that with Beasley and Landry on both sides. So it gives them a lot more flexibility. I think Beasley being in there will actually allow Clowney to be even more effective. So that way, Jarrett, you could get your sack that I know you're thirsting for.
Oh, I love the sacks now.
You know, TD, just switching to the offense a little bit, you know, with the activation of Evans, how is the Tennessee Titans going to use them on offense?
Yeah, that's one of the things we saw in camp, where they would have that pony package with Evans and Henry on the field at the same time.
Is that 20 personnel?
Slot. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so that's something that you will see. And then at the same time, he's a guy that's very effective on the screen pass. They like to go to him on the screen, and then those Texas combos, the Texas route combos, they do that a lot too. So I think it is going to help them. But in all honesty, I thought Jeremy McNichols held his own in a bit of time that he got to play. But I just think Evans is a more explosive player.
Well, man, this is absurd what I'm about to say. We talked about this last week on our show. We laughed about it. They said the running game is struggling. In your mind, do you think the running game is struggling? What do they need to do to get Henry off to a fast start?
Yeah, we went over this on Run TMC. We're talking with TD, you know, and fresh. No, but I think really they just need to get more explosive. That's really all it is. And everyone is spoiled by seeing Derrick Henry hit the home runs the way he normally does. And that's not happening right now. But I think when you look at this week, there's opportunities because Anthony Barr is gone. Eric Kendricks is an outstanding linebacker. But if you look at what happened in the first two games, it was outstanding linebacker play that really kept him from being able to have those explosive runs. So I think if these guys up front, you know, if they're able to fend off those linebackers who are trying to fill the backside cutbacks for Derrick Henry, I think that's the way you could get explosive. But the attack has been, it's just methodical, right? And instead of seeing, you know, one swipe for a touchdown, you're seeing continuous runs that are leading to a passing touchdown. The fact of the matter is Ryan Tannehill in the red zone is ridiculous. He has more touchdowns than anyone else in the red zone in the league. And, I mean, I think that's what's happening right now as far as them when they get into scoring position.
Teron Davenport with us, ESPN.com. TD, what do you make of Kirk Cousins and how poorly he has played this early in the season? And what do you make of the desperation for an 0-2 Vikings team where Cousins knows they're up against it?
Yeah, I remember back in the 90s, there was this group called Soul to Soul, and they had this song. The song was called that one too, but they had another one called Back to Life, Back to Reality. And I think that's what you're seeing with Kirk Cousins. I've never been, you know, a big advocate of his. I think he's a guy who will chalk up a lot of garbage time stats, and, you know, that makes the bottom line as far as the box score look good, personal stats. But, I mean, this is a desperate team, you're right. But at the same time, you know, Kirk Cousins, as a part of that desperation, is going to continue to force the ball to Adam Thielen. And guess what happens when you force the football? Interceptions. And that's why he's thrown, what, 4 in 2 games? So I think, you know, this is an opportunity for the guys in the secondary to really feast on what I assume are going to be some bad throws and some opportunities to, you know, get interceptions.
TD, when you look at this receiving corps, now we know their corners are all beat up, you know, young and beat up. Who needs to jump out there and have, you know, a good day. Some, you know, they need to go out there and catch 6, 7, 8 passes for whatever yards and maybe a big play or two.
I'm going right to Adam Humphries. And the thing that I look at is time of possession. This Vikings team, they're averaging 20 minutes time of possession. So you know what that means. The team on the opposing side is basically holding the ball for just a little over three full quarters, you know, 30, 39 minutes. And I think when you look at Adam Humphries, he's the slot machine. He's the guy on third and six, third and seven. That's where they're going. And he's going to make that catch to get them the first down. He has an 84% catch rate. So 8 out of 10 passes you throw his way, he's bringing in. And I think when you have someone like that to move the chains, now you're extending drives. Now you're giving everyone else more opportunities. So he's kind of like the gateway to everyone else, getting more targets to Derrick Henry, getting more rushing attempts, and just getting Brian Tannehill into a rhythm and continuing to play as confidently as he has.
You know, it's funny that we're not talking about one of the most explosive guys on the field, and that's John New. I mean, what is this cat doing different from last year? I mean, last year he played pretty solid. But, man, this year he's making play after play. He's going up catching the ball. He's running over people. He's running 63 yards on the catch and then a touchdown. What is he doing different, TD?
You know what? He's doing a lot of the same stuff that he did last year. I think really that the big thing is there are more targets coming his way. And you look at the top part of that receiving core, just the pass catchers overall, you have 13 targets to Humphries, 13 to Corey Davis, and 12 to Jonnu Smith. Here's the deal. 3 out of those 12 targets have resulted in touchdowns. And yeah, it's just one of those things where you know from the quarterbacks that you've worked with, that chemistry, that trust, where they're on the same page. I think the best example of that is the touchdown, the 13-yarder against the Jaguars, where Tannehill had to slide to his right just a little bit in the pocket. Jonnu saw it getting a little murky in there for him, and that in-breaking route that he had, he put the brakes on that and reversed back to his right, and Tannehill knew that he was covered but said, you know what, my guy's better than yours, and he's going to make the play, and sure enough, that's what happened. I think that's really what you're seeing out of Jonnu, and he's just really coming into his own. It doesn't hurt to have his former position coach as a play caller, especially one as creative as Art Smith is. And you look at some of the things that he did, like that first play of the game, the throwback that, you know everyone is focusing on the running attack. So what do? You show them what they want to see, and then you play off of it, and a big play happens.
Teron Davenport, ESPN. As always, we look forward to catching up with TD throughout the week. And TD coming on with Nate and TD on Friday. TD, we appreciate you.
Thanks, TD.
Yeah, appreciate you,
for sure, for sure. Don't forget talking with TD, especially Run TMC with Chris and me.
What's up, big dog?
TD, as always, we appreciate you. We'll see you, man.
All right, enjoy the game.
Appreciate you, boss.
Teron Davenport, as always, in-depth Whiteboard Wednesdays, where he breaks it down as well. Everything for TD on ESPN and ESPN.com. By the way, the NFL Network just picked the Titans game. Michael Irvin, Kurt Warner, Rich Eisen, and Steve Mariucci all picked the Titans to beat the Vikings today. And I'm just telling both of you guys, I am worried. I am worried and scared to death about Minnesota at 0-2, and they cannot be as bad as they have looked through the first 2 weeks of the season. I stand by that. And I will continue to be worried, and Chris will make fun of me for being worried, and Floyd will be equally as worried, but just less over the top about it. And that's pretty much what we're dealing with here. Coming up next, I got laughed at last week when I made Ryan Tannehill my pick to click, and then he went out and clicked. So with that, we will have our picks to click. That's coming up next, and also, they are down on Minnesota in Minnesota. We'll touch on it all coming up. It's the pregame show live from Corner Pub in Bellevue. It's ESPN 102.5, the game. Picks to click. It is that time. We take a look at the picks to click last week.
Let's go.
Chris Sanders was our week one winner of picks to click. I'm guessing, Floyd, modestly, I think I was the winner of week two picks to click. Chris Sanders went with Jonnu Smith. 2 touchdowns for Jonnu, so good start for Chris.
Let's
Kevin
go.
Byard. Not sure if Byard had much of a role in that game, but we all love Kevin Byard. The GM went with Cam Batson and Khalif Raymond on offense.
Batson had the best day of his career.
It doesn't say much.
Well, I mean, doesn't that count? The best day of his career.
To answer your question of if that counts, to answer your
question. Let me ask you a question. Is it easier to pick Tannehill as the pick to click, which easy. 9 out of 10 people in the world that have never played a snap a ball would do, or to dig down to the fifth or sixth receiver and pull him out?
Well, I can't pick Tannehill this week because I picked him last week.
That's not you're not answering.
I would argue.
He didn't answer the question.
Yeah, he went right past that.
Yeah, went right past it.
I would argue that the pick is not about who has their best game of their career. It's about who plays the best. And because you're the one giving out game balls, you gave a game ball to Tannehill after the game. You didn't give a game ball to Batson after the game on Sunday against Jacksonville.
Right, but that's those are easy picks.
Floyd, he still didn't answer your question.
Yeah, he's not. He can't.
Floyd also had Chris Jackson and Kristen Fulton as his picks to click on defense. Interception for Kristen Fulton, very big one. So the GM gets a little credit for his picks to click. But yours truly, I think, had the game winners with Ryan Tannehill as his offensive pick to click and Harold Landry game-winning interception as the pick to
tough,
click on defense.
Tough picks there.
Yep,
that
sure
took
is.
A lot of thought.
I mean, we're not saying. I mean, okay, why don't you go ahead and make your pick to click Dennis Kelly?
Sally, who do you want to pick this week?
Hey, Tannehill.
Well, I only know two people. Who's that? Well, Landry and Tannehill.
Oh, stop acting like Harold Landry is a household name. It is time now for our picks to click. Chris Sanders,
yes,
you start us off. Who do you have clicking today for the Titans against the Vikings?
I'm going to go with offense, and that's Humphreys. And the reason why I'm going with Humphreys, and I think they're going to take out Janu, and I think they're going to take out Davis, and I think Humphreys is going to have an outstanding day.
And defense?
I'm going with Crawford. The reason I'm going with Crawford is if you look at on their defensive line, he's the one that's been the most consistent. He's been batting balls down, making plays, getting sacks. So I think today, if they take out Clowney and they take out some of those other guys, I think Crawford can have a huge, huge day.
How disconcerting is it that with a defensive line and edge rushers that are all first or second round picks or highly paid guys, Jack Crawford, who none of us had ever heard of until 2 weeks ago, has been the best player?
See, that's what it is. Sometimes, and I'm not saying that these guys are doing it, when you're a first rounder, sometimes you get complacent. When you got Crawford that always stays hungry because he knows that he's probably one play away from being out the league, so he's going to play every play like his last play. And I'm not saying those other guys are not, but he just has a little more hunger, and that's why he's playing at a top, top level.
GM, your picks to click today.
On offense, I'm going to go with Corey Davis.
Whoa!
Primarily because I think I would agree with Chris. I mean, after last week, those two safeties are going to have to really be paying attention to the slots and the tight ends. And that will mean that there'll be a little bit more of the outside guys on those young corners. And let's face it, a big, strong, talented guy like Corey Davis has got to take advantage of that. So I'm going to go with Corey. And on defense, I'm going to go with Byard for very similar reasons, which is they're going to have to end up using their tight ends. And their tight ends are going to be, I think, key factors in this. And Byard, you know, did not have his best game last week. I think after the game, when you heard him talk, he let us know he was not pleased with not only himself, but a lot of the defensive guys. So I think he's going to kind of spearhead this renaissance and will spend a lot of time focused on those two tight ends.
So I thought about changing mine when the GM made his, but I got to stay true to myself. I'm going with Corey Davis on offense.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think the reason I'm going with Davis is almost exactly to Floyd's point, which is Jacksonville went into the game saying, hey, Corey Davis just lit it up last week, so we can't let Corey Davis light us up. I think Minnesota is going into the game today saying, Jonnu Smith just had two touchdowns, has three on the season. We can't let him light us up. And we can't let Adam Humphreys, the little slot guy, light us up, because if they do, they'll just go first down, first down, first down, first down. And I think that means single coverage with an inexperienced corner on Corey Davis, and he's too talented and too experienced and too much of in a contract year for him not to take advantage of that today. I'm expecting a big game out of Corey Davis. And if I was going to change from Corey Davis, it would have been to Derrick Henry, But then I know that you guys would have laughed me out of the building.
No, no. That
if I had said Derrick Henry.
We would appreciate those tough calls.
I'm going with Corey Davis, like the GM. Then I thought about my second pick to click, and I thought about changing that after the GM made his pick. I am going with Kenny Vaccaro, not Kevin Byard. I think Kenny Vaccaro right now is the most active defensive player on the Titans. I feel like run plays, Vaccaro's there. Blitzes, Vaccaro's the guy doing the blitzing. In coverage, Vaccaro's doing that. I think to Floyd's point, they're going to use their tight ends. I'm worried about Dalvin Cook out of the backfield. I'm worried about Dalvin Cook running the ball. There's a chance that Gary Kubiak is looking at this offense today and saying, you know what we need to do? Forget about Cousins. Forget about the receivers. Establish Dalvin Cook. Because I think Cook is probably the best player on that Vikings offense. I think Vaccaro is going to have a big responsibility today as far as Dalvin Cook is concerned. And so I'm going with Kenny Vaccaro as my defensive pick to click. So Chris Sanders goes Adam Humphries and Jack Crawford. Mm-hmm. The GM goes Corey Davis and Kevin Byard. And yours truly goes Corey Davis and Kenny Vaccaro. GM, I was reading up about the Minnesota Vikings in the Minneapolis Star. I'm sure that GM, when you were defensive...
Star.
I'm guessing when you were GM... when you were defensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings back in the day, you tried not to read the Star Tribune, huh?
We had two sports writers. One, his name is Klobuchar, and his daughter now was running for president, Amy Klobuchar. And the other guy's name was Sid Hartman. And Sid Hartman, I think, is still there, and Sid is legitimately like 100 years old. And he still works. So, yeah, it was Star Tribune was a giant paper.
So the Star Tribune, Ben Gosling, who I think has been a longtime Vikings writer, has the three things for Titans, Vikings, and his prediction. And he says the three big storylines, number one, win or else. As he writes, the Vikings have an 18% chance of making the playoffs after an 0-2 start, but those chances could be all but gone if they fall to 0-3. With road games against Houston and Seattle looming. His second issue is Anthony Barr's injury forces the defense to adapt again. And he says Kirk Cousins looks to shake off a career worst game. Cousins' passer rating, 15.9 against Indianapolis. Gosling writes, offensive coordinator Gary Kubiak blamed himself for some of the struggles, saying the Vikings have to do more to get receivers open for Cousins. And his prediction is... Titans 24-21. Every single person, even in Minnesota, on NFL Network, on all the, everybody's picking the Titans. And Floyd, that makes me very uneasy, as I'm sure you used to be uneasy reading the Minneapolis Star Tribune back when you were coaching the Vikings.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to understand how all of this comes about, you know, in my mind, which is... Let's say, what would we be saying about Derrick Henry? I mean, we don't like what Derrick Henry's doing now. He's only averaging 100 yards a game.
And leading rusher in the AFC.
And is the number two rusher in the NFL, leading rusher in the AFC. And we don't like that. What would we be saying if we were 0-2? What would we be saying? And you can go through people on our team that we are not happy with. Corey Davis, we're really not happy with Corey. He should be doing more. We're not getting sacks from Clowney. We don't like him at all. We're 2-0. Beasley, what would be – Beasley would be a pariah right now if we were 0-2. I mean, he would – what were we doing paying money to this guy? We're idiots and on and on and on. So I think all those things just magnify when they look at the record. And I think that as much griping as we're doing about our team being 2-0, if we were sitting here at 0-2, it would be a massacre.
Yeah, and if the Titans lost today, Floyd, we're going to start hearing that chirping right now.
Yeah,
I agree with Jared. This game scares me. And the reason why it scares me is because everybody's talking how bad they are. They're terrible. The offensive line, Cousins throwing interception into double coverage, all these negative things. As a man, I hear those negative things that you're saying are what I can't do. And I'm backed up against the wall, then I'm going to give you 110% effort and show you that I can do what you said I can't.
So I would just say that to that point, yes. I think to the other point, the Titans 2-0 record may be a little inflated compared to how they've played. And I'm not going to say the Vikings 0-2 record is overstated because they played good competition. They've been awful. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But a team that's played awful that isn't supposed to be awful usually gives you their best performance because they're tired of being talked about how awful they've
been. That's a good point.
Coming up next, we'll have Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. What does Coach Vrabel think the Titans need to do in order to get the job done? And our game day picks, all three of us 2-0 so far, having correctly picked the Titans. I'm scared to death of the Vikings. Am I going to make it official and pick them? That'll all be coming up next here on the pregame show. We're live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. Jared and Chris Floyd back in our studios. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. We are getting close to kickoff. Titans and Vikings, and again, the Titans looking to go to 3-0 for the first time since 2008, the third time in the history of the Titans. And the two men with me as we're live out at Corner Pub here in Bellevue. The two men with me, Floyd back in our studios, Chris Sanders here. They were a part of that in 1999, 3-0, a game that nobody was picking the Titans. You guys go on the road to Jacksonville. Samari Roll makes an interception in the end zone at the end of the game. The Titans win against Jacksonville and end up in the Super Bowl that season. Titans looking to go 3-0. The last time they were 3-0, 2008, the Titans started off 10-0. GM, I know you've been 3-0 in your life. I know you've been 0-3 in your life. What does 3-0 mean to you?
Well, I mean, it's a giant step in the right direction. You know, again, you can't – I never looked at things and thought, well, I wonder what it would be like to be 10-0 or 9-0 or 11-0 or – you know, I was always just so thankful for that next win. That I would, and we would get in points during the season where I really wouldn't know what our record was. I knew we were undefeated, but I didn't know if we were 4-0 or 5-0, 5-0 or 6-0. It didn't matter to me. And so I think it's big. It's really, really big for the emotional, you know, well-being of the guys, I think, as much as anything, because at a point in time, they start feeling like they really are elite. They really are among the best. And I think, you know, more is expected of those that are among the best. And I think they maybe even help you with what you're trying to do. You go out there and you think you're one of the best and you know more is expected. You want to give a little bit more because of who people think you are.
So with that, it's time to get to Mike Vrabel's keys to the game for a Titans victory. I think we all can agree with this. When it's 3rd and 8, unlike last week, Coach Vrabel says you got to get your butts off the field on defense.
Not going to win any more football games if we can't get off the field. Offense is able to extend drives and wear us down, and that leads to points. And so we're going to have to get off the field. We're going to have to rush and cover, and we're going to have to do it a lot better pretty quickly.
Floyd, how much do you agree with Mike Vrabel saying this defense has got to find a way off the field on third down?
Sure, and he hit it right on the head. You've got to rush and cover, and that's where it started, and that's where, you know, I mean, I've identified the problem in my mind over the last 2 weeks, which is, you know, if you can't rush and you've got rookie corners or corners that are not number ones, not starters, then, you know, it's hard for you to cover. And so if you can't, you know, one has to take care of the other. And we were stuck in a position for a long time there where we had, you know, neither side of that could take care of the other side. So you're left with not much.
Yeah, I think they definitely have to get off on third down because, number one, if you don't, you're going to have a tired defense. And if you look, with the teams not being in shape like they usually are, when you have a team that's converting third downs and they have those 15 to 16 to 17 play drives, and they're keeping converting third downs, you're going to have a tired defense. So I think it's really a plus that they have to get off on third down.
And I think if you look at time of possession in these last two games, I mean, it was not in our favor.
True.
You know, and that's just what Chris is saying.
I mean, you can be a bad team. If you can find your way off the field on third down, I feel like you got a pretty good shot. I mean,
You know what's funny is we're 2-0 and we're pretty good. And remember in the offseason, where do we need to improve and what did I say? I had two things. I said, if you can improve on third down and you can improve in the red zone, then you're going to win a bunch of games.
Yes, sir.
And I think if you look at where Tannehill's leading the league in red zones and we're better on offense on third downs, but our defense is struggling because of third downs.
That takes us to Mike Vrabel's second key of the game today, which is efficiency in the run game.
You know, I think efficient and even more coordinated at times. There's just too many opportunities for us to gain more yards in a run game than what's been out there. I don't think it's a lack of toughness or effort. I just think it's about coordinating it and continuing to be efficient and letting it help us set up the rest of our offense.
Chris, what do you make of that?
I'm kind of torn because I don't think the running game is struggling. I mean, he had, 116 the first game, and he had 84 the next game. I just think that we're spoiled of seeing those great runs. And you got to take your hat off to the defense that they played. They're taking away the A, B, and C gaps, and they're not letting Henry get started. And you know Henry has to get started because he's a space runner. When you're a space runner, you need one cut and go. He can't make one cut and go if there's somebody sitting in the gap and they're making a run side to side. Just like last week, it was third down, and he loses 9 yards because the defense is having to run side to side as opposed to hitting that one stick and go.
Floyd?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, his efficiency is not necessarily the lack of big plays as much as it's eliminate the second and 12s. You know, eliminate those negative yard plays. Turn those 1 yard gains into 3 yard gains. Then that means, you know, the 5 yard gain is now a 7 yard gain, which means now it's second and 3, you're right on schedule and let's get going. So I could see that, but I would agree with Chris. I don't think he's complaining about the 100 yards a game average. I think he's complaining about the negative plays.
And that takes us to Mike Vrabel's third key to the game, special teams and getting field position out of their return game.
Yeah, just create it and create the field position and also some momentum. You know, we've got a guy in Khalif Raymond that's willing, has done a good job of catching the football, but we got to get this punt return and this kickoff return, especially if they're going to give us opportunities to return the ball in a kickoff return phase. You know, we're going to have to do better than what we did last week to be able to create that field position for our offense.
But you know what to solve that, Jared?
What's that?
There's a guy sitting at home at 94-37. Timmy Rich Court.
Don't be putting your address out there on the radio.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have did that. But CJ Sanders is sitting on the couch waiting for that call. That'll solve all the problems. I'm just kidding.
Floyd, I don't disagree with what Chris is saying from the stand. I like Raymond, but he's not going to get you yards on a punt return. I mean, Vrabel can hope it, but let's be real about Raymond's ability to return punts, GM.
Our return game is non-existent. You know, I mean, it's not even... I've just gotten to the point I picture it in my mind's eye. It used to be where you stand on the goal line as the ball goes over your head as a returner. You kind of wave your arms as if to say, okay, that's it, guys. But now they're kicking it to us. And they are kicking it to us because we know that we're not going to gain 20 yards. And so they're saying, okay, we're going to kick it to you, give you 15 yards, and we're going to gain 15 yards. On the return. I mean, gain 5 yards on the return. And I'm going, yeah, it makes sense to me. But, I mean, our return game is just nothing. I mean, it's not even worth talking about.
And with that, it's time for us to make our game day picks here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Who wins and why? Chris Sanders. All three of us went with the Titans last week, albeit by larger margins than 3. We're all 2-0 heading into week 3. Titans and Vikings, who wins today and why?
I say the Tennessee Titans 24-10. And the reason why I say 24-10, I just think that the Vikings offense is struggling so bad and there's no identity in offense. And I think our defense is going to pummel him really, really bad and control the line of scrimmage and sack Cousins like 5 or 6 times. And he's not going to get any rhythm to make some plays. So I just think that we're just a better team. And if we go out there and play like we're the better team, then I think we're going to get a W in the win column.
GM, who wins today and why?
I'm going to go with the Titans also. I'm going to go something like 28-27, something like that. it's going to be closer than we're going to like. But when it comes down to it, we're going to have to hope all those things we talked about, you know, with Tannehill and his confidence and, you know, whatever else, that that we'll find a way to get that one more point than they're going to have.
So the GM's going Titans. Chris is going Titans. I'm going Vikings.
Oh, girly.
I'm going Vikings. I'm scared to death of the Vikings. I'm scared to death. Scared to death of them playing their best game of the season because, quite frankly, they are struggling and they know their season is over. If they lose today, I'm going to go Vikings 24, Titans 16 in today's game. I'm worried about the Titans defense. So maybe I'm just a hater. I don't know. I'm going Vikings for today's game. That's going to do it for us. We will be back tomorrow, 2 o'clock, for Jared and the GM. And, of course, all of our coverage tomorrow, recapping the Titans game, starts at 6 a.m. right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We will see you next week from Corner Pub downtown as the Titans get set to take on the Steelers Sunday at 9:30. For the GM, for Chris Sanders, I'm Jared Stillman. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.